Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Solomon writes words of wisdom in our Old Testament lesson for today. The preparations of a heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirits. Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. The Lord has made all for himself, yes, even the wicked for the day of doom. Everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though they join forces, none will go unpunished. If your way is set straight, that is, if you pray fervently, if you read the scriptures fervently, if you are built up in the word of God, and you study his precepts and his will, he will set you on that path. That path leads to eternal life. And yes, that is a path that leads through a narrow gate. Few find that gate. But if you put your trust in the Lord, that is, if the Holy Spirit has worked faith in your heart, he has set you on that path, and he will lead you to salvation. Man cannot save himself upon his own works. It is only by the grace of God. It is only by the Father looking down and seeing the hurt and the sin and the despair, and sending his only begotten Son to suffer the death that we all deserve. It is only by faith in this fact that we can be saved. The Lord has made all for himself, yes, even the wicked for the day of doom. Everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. In our day, we celebrate sin by calling it pride. And yet God's word is clear in both situations. A haughty spirit leads to a fall. Pride leads to destruction. Though they join forces, none will go unpunished. As much as this world joins forces, as much as it joins the father of lies in preaching a message that is not the truth of Jesus Christ, they will not go unpunished. Apart from repentance, apart from turning from our sinful desires, we have no hope. But in Jesus, we receive the forgiveness of our sins. In mercy and truth, atonement is provided for iniquity, and by the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. I pray that the meaning of the first commandment is still upon all of your hearts. You shall have no other gods. What does this mean? We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Yes, the world is very shrewd, and it is wise in its own eyes. But true wisdom comes from God, because he is the truth. And if he is the one who is wise above all of creation, if he is God Almighty, and he is, then it is better not to trust in this fallen world. It is better not to trust in the ways of the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh, but rather in his ways. How do you find your identity? Too often today in our sinful world, people identify themselves now with their sins, with their sinful lusts and desires that St. Paul very clearly says not to do. These things were written down for our benefit, that we may learn what God desires, that we may learn what it is that God says do not do, for these are wicked ways. St. Paul is very clear. They sat down to eat and they rose up to play in sexual immorality. The marriage bed is to be kept pure and undefiled. Husband and wife, male and female, are to live chaste and decent lives. We do not identify ourselves with our sin. We identify ourselves with what Jesus Christ has proclaimed about us. We identify ourselves as baptized children of God. We make this proclamation to the devil, to the world, and our own sinful nature when we retrace the branding received in our holy baptism. That we have been baptized in His holy name, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. His name is placed upon us in those waters of holy baptism. We do not identify ourselves with the sins that we have left behind. We identify ourselves as children of God Almighty. This is the truth. And in our gospel lesson, Jesus is very clear that this world does deal shrewdly. They use all sorts of schemes to try to get ahead. And while we do not scheme, we do not manipulate, the fact is that we also need to practice this wisdom in our world. We need to take that which is successful and follow it. We need to do what is righteous, not in the sight of the world, but in God's eyes. We need to gather week after week after week. We need to gather in our homes too. We need to gather around God's word. Fathers need to read it to their children and to their wives. Children need to recite it back in a catechetical form. We need godly men who will lead their families in this. That is the general rule. That is what God set up. And I understand that not every single household can follow that rule. Perhaps God has taken that head out of the home, or perhaps sin has. But in the cases where this rule is to be followed, we follow it. We must raise up godly men who will lead their wives and their children in this way. And we need to raise up godly girls to be godly women who will follow them. Who will hear and receive that word, who will be the helpmeet of their husbands and rejoice in the fact that they have been given a godly spouse. Husband and wife should find themselves sitting next to each other week after week in these pews with their children in tow if their children are still in the home. And day after day, fathers and mothers gather around that word in their own home as the father proclaims that message once again. As the father teaches his children how to pray, especially with the words of our Lord's Prayer, the prayer that Jesus himself gives, that the father lead his household in the Ten Commandments so that we might see what God's will is, knowing that when we fail to uphold them completely because of our sin, we will fail. There is an advocate with the Father. That Jesus Christ is the propitiation for our sins. He is the one who has made atonement. So when fathers fail, when mothers fail, when children fail, there is forgiveness in Jesus Christ, in his death on the cross, and in his resurrection. We need to be shrewd. We do not follow after the unrighteous mammon. That is the love of money that our world so desperately loves. We need to take a look at what is more important than money. Yes, in our current culture, money is simply one of those necessities in order to purchase that which we need. But more important than any of the money in the world is the gifts that Jesus Christ has given you. Utmost of the importance is faith in Him. No matter how much the world may look at you and laugh, no matter how much you may not have in earthly goods, You have the most important thing. You have the one thing needful, faith in Jesus Christ as Lord, as Savior, as King of all creation. He is my King too. That is the utmost important thing, the one thing needful. If God has given you a spouse, then that is a gift from Him too. If God has given you children, then those are gifts too. But if He is not, there are crosses that must be borne. There are children within congregations that need to feel the love of other fathers and mothers, whether they are biologically their father or mother or not. All can share the message. All can serve Christ in His church. They may teach Sunday school. They may lead in VBS, as we will later this week. They may do wonderful things, but they share the light of Jesus. Let the world see Jesus through the way you live. Deal shrewdly. Build up wonderful things. Prepare your children for a world that will not like them for being Christian. Prepare your children for that world by teaching them the things that are necessary. Teach them the Word of God. And if possible, build schools to do just that, so that every single day they may hear about Jesus, that they are not taught the lies of the devil, that they are not taught that they evolved by chance over millions and billions of years. Teach them that there is truth, that there is male, there is female, created in the beginning by God. And that they are beautiful. That God created them male and female for His purpose. That God created marriage for His purpose. For companionship. And according to His will for procreation. To continue to be fruitful and multiply according to His holy will. The church needs to do this. It is not unloving, it is not unkind to be wise and to practice that shrewdness. Jesus Himself commands it in our parable. So we must follow Him. We do not follow the mammon of this world. We do not follow the deceit and the lies of the devil, but we follow the truth that is Jesus Christ. Our sermon hymn for today, the hymn of the day, "What is the world to me?" is only 4 stanzas in LSB, but it's 8 in TLH. And so naturally, as I'm drawn to a longer hymn, because it very clearly tells us these joys, I'm going to close the sermon today with a stanza that's not in our hymnal today, but is in your TLH. So when you get home, sing it loudly. The church sings, "The world with wanton pride exalts its sinful pleasures, and for them foolishly gives up the heavenly treasures. Let others love the world with all its vanity. I love the Lord my God. What is the world to me?" Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.